Okay, so the abstract is, so thank you for inviting me to speak. It's nice to be here. This is my hometown, so I enjoy very much to be here again. So the abstract is kind of sparse because I wasn't really quite sure exactly what aspect I want to talk about. So I give a slightly more detailed title. So what I want to talk about is the infinity structures. Compactification of loss consciousness. So so I have to explain what all of this means. So presumably most people here are familiar with this loss consciousness system. And I should say this was kind of a private fantasy of mine for a long time, but it was only until maybe about a year ago that the technology, so to speak, was available to make this possible. So let me give you an overview to indicate what I'm aiming at, and then I'll explain what these infinity structures are. So actually, let me just say this, and maybe this will give you some idea. It's the analog of the p-adic integers for the infinite prime. Okay, so there's a way to think of this informally, but the point is there's actually now a way to say exactly what it is, and it somehow lets you sort of enrich the Boltzmann system in a very natural way. So here's the setup. So this Boltzmann system has a geometric interpretation, so it's a space of two lattices modulo some equivalence relation. So what you do, and I'll come back to the precise definition of this later, but just think of it, they're just lattices. This is just a lattice in R, and you also keep track of rational points. And what you do is you divide out by commensurability, so it's some equivalence relation. So you get this Q lattice system, so again rank 1 modulo commensurability, and then you get the Boltzmann system. So so you might know it as a C star algebra, but actually it's more fundamental than that. It's the group, pardon me? No, I'm going to say here up to scale. So you mod out by R star plus action, you get this species system. So one manifestation of this species system is attached to it is the Riemann zeta function. Okay, so, and this thing here is, and there's a sort of a map backwards, is called dualization. And this thing here is, so if you don't scale out by this action, so this R, so lattices you can scale, that's what this R star action is. And what this is up to a Morita equivalence is it's something like the Adele class space. So this is related to Kahn's Adele class space. So this is some nasty kind of space like this. So it's a non-commutative quotient space. And so this space is essentially this Adele class space minus a certain compact strata. So here when I write 0, what I mean is a non-zero real part. So it's this space, but you cut out a strata that's isomorphic to the integral E delta. So, okay, so this is all well known. So this is, you can think of it sitting in there. So there's another way to think about this. Actually, there are many ways. So Heck algebra, there's you can also think of it very explicitly, the C star algebra in terms of a presentation. There's this endomotive picture of Consani, Conan, Marcoli. But I want to indicate a way in which you can think of this maybe more geometrically. So what you do is you can think of this as being some Q lattices as being vector bundles over spec Z. And then it's the natural thing to do is, well, to compactify this using color theory. So this picture, if I extend it, what's going on? So here the one analytic manifestation is you have, instead of this just a Riemann zeta function, you have the completed Riemann zeta function. So you have to add this Euler factor at infinity. So this is sort of a kind of passing from here to here is a kind of a compactification. So what I want to explain is, in fact, passing from here to here is exactly the compactification that occurs in Arakelov theory, but a certain version of Arakelov theory. So there's a version of Arakelov theory, it's fairly new. So let me call, so I make up this name, it's somewhat suggestive, L1 Arakelov theory. So this is a work of Nikolai Durov. So this is 2005-2006. So I put this range because this is a very big project. So I'm not sure. So sometime during this period, he developed an alternative approach to Arakelov theory, where it's a kind of a generalized algebraic geometry, because in ordinary Arakelov theory, what you do is you're sort of using two different theories at the same time, but they work together, but it's not so really so seamless. So what he did is he developed just a larger notion of schemes, and within this larger setup, he can talk about things like the compactification of spec Z, but not in by analogy, but very directly. So what you do here is, so one thing you can do here is, so ordinary Arakelov theory is sort of an L2 theory, but I'll come to this later. So on the Arakelov side, the picture is vector bundles. So I should say line bundles. Line bundles over spec Z. Okay, so this is like, you cannot see, so, okay. Okay, so anyway, so this arrow went like this. So it's over, this is like affine line, so it would be nice if you, for many reasons, to compactify it, and there's a way you can do this, so.
Spec Z is just the prime number.
Yeah, spec Z is just, so you can, it's a very complicated thing. It's a very complicated thing. So you can formally, you can do it by adding, set theoretically, it's a kind of a naive thing you do. You add in just an infinity, just at one point, so as a set. No, what I mean is, we look at this as, we want to look at all valuations of Q. Right? Okay? And there's one of them is missing, it's infinity. And so in Arakelov theory, what you do is you don't define this directly, you just work with sort of analytic manifestations of this. But this Durov theory allows you to define this as a genuine scheme, but in a generalized sense. So what you can do is, if you take, I go back to the rank one case. So line bundles over spec Z hat, whatever that is. And then what you do is you add, so here I'm going to explain in the vector bundle language what this commensurability relation is. You add, I guess this is not standard terminology. When you degenerate finite, so this is the key, infinite torsion. Okay, so in the Boscon system, what you're doing is you just take count of finite torsion. And in this setting, you can, because you're also adding this infinity prime, you should try to also add this infinite torsion if there's some meaning of commensurability in this vector bundle language. And if you divide, divide out by isomorphism of vector bundles, I'll explain what this is very, this is something very concrete. Even if this is some spooky thing, this thing can be described very concretely. So if you divide by out by isomorphism, what you get is you get again this Adele class space. So you get exactly that. And there's no commensurability relation you have to divide out. You, just by dividing by the natural isomorphism on line bundles, you take care of commensurability. So it's a very natural, so these things are the same. So actually, if you, from the point of view of zeta functions, it's very natural to expect something like this might be the case. So this is, as I said, a manifestation of a compactifying the Boscon system, and that's sort of what you would expect if you add infinity point to this affine line, spec Z, and to get this spec Z hat. Okay, so this is the overview. So what I want to do is I want to go like this. Go from the top like this. Okay, so going like this is well known. Let me go like this. So yeah, so basically it's like this. When you take a Q lattice and you cut out by scaling, then in essence what happens is the lattice kind of disappears and you're only left with the endomorphism of rational points on a standard lattice. Okay, so without compactifying, just a line bundle over spec C is just a rank one projective Z module, so free Z module with one generator, okay? So, okay, but that's just lattice. But you also have this commensurability relation. So you have to do this for finite primes. It's very straightforward. But then you have to do it at the infinite prime, and it's not sort of what you might think. So it's not something very tricky, but it's maybe not the first thing you might think to do. Okay, so let me explain how this works. So let me explain just very sort of informally what this Z infinity is. Okay, but I want to emphasize that Z infinity is a real mathematical object. It's not a ring, and I want to explain how you can think of it in various terms. So it's a manifestation. So just very quickly, just so you have some intuition of what this is. So what is this thing? So algebraically, it's Z infinity is discrete valuation ring at infinity. So if you look at what you do p-adically, then what it should be is, so this R is the completion of Q with respect to the infinite valuation. It's just this. Okay, so it's just a unit interval. So this infinity means normal absolute value. So it's a closed unit interval. Okay, but this is not a ring, right? So not a ring. So it's not closed under addition. Okay, so this is sort of a very first approximation of what this is. So analytically, what it corresponds to is Euler factor at infinity. So this is a very well-known analogy. So if you write the zeta function as Tate does, as a zeta integral, so you pick, it's in particular a distribution on the Adele. S is a complex number. F is generally going to be some rapidly decaying function on the Adele. But if you pick a particular one, so what you do is you look at, so you integrate with respect to Hodge measure, and if you pick F, so in particular, it has some kind of a tensor product decomposition. And if you, so F factors over the primes. So for a finite prime, it's just a characteristic function of Vp, okay? And at the infinite prime, it's just, so why making a definition here? So if you define it to be this, and then, so you take all, you take the F that you get from all these local factors and you stick it in here, what you get back is, so for this particular F, what you get back is this thing here. And so this thing here is, so in other words, this gamma S over 2 of pi minus S over 2, it's the, let me write it this way, it's, So this is a, maybe a little funny way to let me write now. So I write it this way. So what it really is this over R star F infinity of X, X of the S. So this is the usual absolute value, and just dx over X. Okay, and so you get this gamma factor. And at the other primes, what you do is, so this is a Gaussian, at the other primes is a characteristic function of Vp. So somehow this, the characteristic function of V infinity, so let me write it this way, V infinity, okay, of course this doesn't make sense strictly speaking, it's minus pi over X squared, okay? So this is another way. So what I'm trying to show is whatever this thing is, it's quite an exotic thing. It's more complicated than Zp for a finite prime. And geometrically, so this is where we come back to the Kellogg picture. So geometrically, okay. So I should say, this dual theory defines the Z infinity exactly, but it doesn't explain this. Somehow, this thing should be a projector in an appropriate sense, but I don't know exactly how. So geometrically, what you should get is, if you look at Z, the bracket infinity, so if you do the localization at infinity, so what this is Z infinity intersected with Q. So you should think of this as just a finite localization. So if you localize Z at a prime, then it's just the periodic integers, and you, so it's sort of like an incomplete localization. So this is a sort of a completion of that. So if you look at this localization at infinity, then what we expect is, assuming you can compactify this affine curve, and you look at its start at infinity, what you should get is Z infinity. Okay, so geometrically, this Z infinity should arise from this compactification of spec Z. And so let me just very briefly say what's the geometric picture? So, because this will play a role when we go from here to there. So what you look at is, say, some proper, so this is going to be a curve. And it's over spec V. And what you want to, so in our kind of geometry, what you want to define is a model. It's an arithmetic surface, which is, you have, so let me explain this way. And what the model is, a surface, it's generic fiber, so it's a generic fiber, the scheme over Q is going to be the curve you're interested in. You're interested in this. And what you want to do, though, is you want to study this curve as it sort of varies in families. And you can do intersection theory, but you have to do a completion at infinity. And so this model, this is some arithmetic surface, okay? So arithmetic surface. So you have, it should be defined over spec V. This is something like a completion of this, okay? And this should be something like some proper flat morphism. So I should write zero. This is something lying over the affine part, and you should have some diagram like this. And Erich-Kellogg geometry, the way you do this, so this part here, in traditional Erich-Kellogg geometry, it's sort of something imaginary, and its substitute is you look at this, and then you look at a Hermitian structure on the Riemann surface, the complex points of X. So this is a Riemann surface. So, and this Hermitian structure has to also be invariant under complex conjugation. So this is what's normally called, so I write this like this, L2 Erich-Kellogg geometry. You'll never see this terminology in the literature, because I only make this distinction because there is another version which is sort of L1 in some sense. And so then the original theory is some kind of L2 theory. Okay, so so this is what this Z infinity is. Then we just look. So are you looking here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just, so this is the generic fiber of this arithmetic surface. So this is what you start off with. You start with this, and you try to make this. This is usually the way it works. But you cannot go all the way. You have to sort of do, you have to work with this object that doesn't exist in the usual algebraic geometry by saying, well, at infinity, the way to compactify it, if I want to look at line bundles over this thing here, is I look at Hermitian structures on line bundles. I come back to also, if I have time, to this point about the Hermitian structures at the end, because it, so let me sort of just jump way to the end, just in case I don't get there. So one point of going this way is it suggests maybe new structures on this Adele class space that are coming from the color geometry. So, so this is what it is. So, I mean, intuitively, that's what it is. Okay, so let me give you a rapid overview of generalized. So I do this very quickly, because to do it properly is a little bit painful and too boring. So this is, again, Nikolai Durov's theory. So this is just the mythology that I was explaining here. So this is something real. So the way this works is you see, this thing is not a ring. It should be something more general. There's nothing you can't say what that is exactly if you stick with rings. So you have to generalized ring. So you, there's a way in which, so he did this in a very nice way, in a kind of a minimal way. He took the category of classical, so these classical, I mean usual commutative rings, and he embeds it fully faithfully in a larger category of what are called commutative. So I have to use brackets. So this generalizes normal commutativity, but it's a lot more complicated to say. Algebraic monads. So there are some pretty esoteric terms. Monads in sets. So let me unravel what this means. So these monads in sets, it just means it's a monoid, but in the category sense. So it's a monoid in the category of endofunctors of sets. So this category is monoidal. Okay. In other words, you can define one particular, you can define monoids in it. And this monoidal structure is just functor composition. And this algebraic condition is some kind of finiteness of operations, okay, like multiplication or addition. The addition won't really exist, but there's some substitute of this. And commutativity is something complicated, generalized. I won't go into it. And these are what are called generalized rings. So generalized commutative rings. So this is all contained in the work of Durov. So let me give you an example. So why is this, just very quickly, why should this be called generalized ring? The reason is, so what I'm explaining is here, how you go from here to here. Yeah, why not? I don't think it'll really make any difference, but okay. I mean, I think. Oh, I don't know. I think it should not matter, because let me explain that what this embedding is, and then maybe it will become clear. So what it does is, so these generalized rings, they're functors on sets. So how do you get a functor on sets from rings? So this is a ring, a usual ring, and what you send it to is the functor that then takes a set. And it maps it to the set underlying the free R module generated by us. Okay, so it's something very simple, and you can show that you can recover the ring from this functor and so forth. So there's nothing lost when you go like this, and no new morphisms of classical rings are introduced. So this is a full subcategory of this. Yes, from sets to sets. Okay, so let me give you an example. Okay, that's all about general rings. I'm not going to say anything more. Let me give you an example. So Z infinity, Z bigger than or equal to zero. So this is a semi-ring, and F1, this field of one element. So last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a conference about this. So so I'm repeating some stuff. So okay. Anyway, so what are these as sets? So let me see. These things are all functors. So I have to tell you what they do to sets. So what it does on sets. So this Z infinity, and this will give you a good intuition of what it is exactly, is you take finite combinations of elements in elements in this real vector space with basis f, and they have to be octahedral in the sense that so this is a finite sum. It's less than one. Okay, so it sends this set to this octahedron. Okay. This is, well, it won't matter actually. They'll be the same. No, it will turn out to be, oh, wait a second. Oh, yeah, okay, so I have to do it later, yeah. So here you'll get now, if, say, this is a 1 point set, you get an interval, 2 point set, you get a diamond, 3 point set, you really get an actual octahedron. Yeah, that's why it's kind of calling this this L1 color theory. So it differs a little from the L2 theory. This V bigger than or equal to zero is just the same thing, but now you have Z bigger than or equal coefficients. Okay, so before they were real coefficients, the same thing. And this, okay, these are all generalized subrings of the real numbers. And so you can intersect them, takes a fiber product over R. And if you intersect them, you get what's called F1. So this thing will maybe come back in the end. Okay, so it's there was, I guess Professor Kohn maybe will talk about it. So I believe this Arakelov picture, it connects to this new idea that this thing is defined over F1, and there seems a way to do this also explicitly in this case, if you buy that. Okay, that this thing is F1. Okay. Okay, so here I'm leaving out a lot of things. It's not just a functor. You have to have a multiplication, identity, natural transformation. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. That's the thing that I'm missing. You can state it all in category terms in terms of some a natural transformation of some iterated functor, but intuitively it's that. And what is the infinity structure? So if you ask, what is the infinity module? Well, it's just a way of evaluating. So these are, you can think of them as, okay, just say these things are formal variables, some formal octahedral combination. You have to have a way of assigning that a value in your module. So that's what, yeah. Yeah, this is the infinity. It has a very in many aspects has a many indication. It's the correct thing. So in fact, you can do a whole. So you can develop a commutative algebra for these the infinity algebras, the infinity modules, tensor products, limits, and so forth. The only thing that's very surprising, and this will play a role when we do this compactification, is taking quotients in the category of the infinity modules is a delicate thing. I actually had this problem, and it really scared me for a while because I kept getting zero modules, but it was a way to get around it. But okay, otherwise, so the thing is commutative algebra works, but beware of quotients. So that's what's going on in Z infinity from the algebraic point of view. So let me come back now to the Boscombe system. So I want to begin this descent in this diagram to the Arakelov theory, but I have to explain first what's this Boscombe system. So this Boscombe system. So what you have is, so in the two lattice picture, you have two lattices. What are they? They're pairs. You have a lattice, so you could have, they could be of arbitrary rank in Rn. So this is a lattice, and you have some labeling of the rational points defined by the lattice. So you have some homomorphism from here to there. So this is so I emphasize it, the Z module homomorphism. Z homomorphism. So maybe not injective, okay? This is very important. So that's all it is. And you have a notion of commensurability. So it's very natural. It's a commensurability in the group sense, plus you have to carry that over to this extra torsion, degenerate torsion structure. So that's why before I was saying degenerate torsion, you don't have a bijection here. So commensurability, say if you have two lattices like this, it just means that a certain diagram commutes. So you have if you look at these two maps, so these torsion mappings, then okay, so I have to say that in order for this to make sense, this has to be true, so they're commensurable in this group sense, then these mappings are equal, this composition, these two compositions are equal on this, let me call this gamma null. So gamma null is just the sum of these two. Okay, so this is, it's an equivalence relation. And what you do, so the Boscombe system, so let me just jump all the way down to, so the Boscombe system, what it is it's a, so topologically it's a C-star algebra. What you do is you take some two lattices. Okay, so now I'm in the rank one case, okay? No, so I just indicate there's a general way to do it. And okay, if you don't have rank one lattices, then in the geometric picture you have vector bundles of higher rank. Q lattice is the modulo commensurability. And what this thing here is, it's a groupoid. And this groupoid is, it's Z hat. So let me draw this way. So I do something that seems kind of redundant. No, I divided it. I just want to indicate from here what I'm doing. So exactly, I want to match all those pieces. This commensurability relation actually turns out just to be the multiplication of Q on these pairs. So this thing here is the endomorphisms of Q mod Z. Okay, they correspond to these things. When you cut out scaling, then you're just looking at a canonical lattice, just Z. There's no, otherwise you'd be looking at, say, like five times Z. So scaling just says you only have one lattice to think about, so you can essentially forget about it. So you divide out by scaling, that's going to act on this part. So this is a scaling factor. This is this torsion part. And this thing affects the commensurability relation. So this is a transformation groupoid. The only thing you have to notice, of course, is this doesn't act on that. It acts just partially, right? The rational number times the integral of del won't again be an integral of del in general. But otherwise, it's definition same, so it's kind of clear what this is. So this thing also, so in the end, what you get is Z hat, this transformation groupoid. Okay, so this is, let me call it GBC. Okay, this is this Boscombe groupoid. Okay, now, okay, so let me come now to this, I have to go very quickly. I want to leave this here. Let me come back to the Adele. Okay, let me just skip to the Adele class space in this vector bundle picture, otherwise I won't have enough time. So I go straight to vector bundle. So let me give you tell you a theorem of Borel. It seems very simple, but there's a huge massive amount of work, like 400 pages sitting behind this. So here's the theorem. Now this is theorem of Borel. I guess it's 2006, maybe earlier. The vector bundles, finite, so let me, some fixed rank n over a spec Z hat. So this thing is now a genuine object. It's kind of generalized scheme. Actually, it's even a nastier than that. It's a pro-generalized scheme. So it's a projective limit. And this, I think, will relate. So this is some kind of moduli space that's defined over F1. And I think this is what relates to the Boscombe system being defined over F1. So a pro-generalized scheme. And it's in one-to-one correspondence by, so maybe this is a very, not so concrete thing, but you can define it very concretely. It's just a triples of of the following. You have a, so this triples, let me write them out. So you have this, so E, Z over Q. So you have come through the isomorphism. Okay, so this, I guess I don't have to say it. This is a Z module, free of rank N. This thing here is going to be a Z infinity module, N free of the same rank. And if you tensor over Q, then this is a Q vector space isomorphism. And the moduli of vector bundles, so rank. No. They're honest vector bundles. They're locally free O spec V hat sheaf over a finite rank. So you define them in the same way. So instead of vector bundles, you talk about sheaf. So I have to say what the structure sheaf is. A sheaf of generalized rings. Everything is all of these things are going to be F1 schemes. Now these things are all defined over F1. And in this generalized theory, everything is defined over the field of zero elements. So, okay, but it's actually defined over F1. I don't know. Yeah, okay, it's related to that, but it's somehow finer than that. So you can get Hermitian structures from Z-infinity structures, but not vice versa. So Hermitian structures are special kinds of Z-infinity structures. So geometrically, in terms of the sets that are associated to the generalized rings, they're ellipsoids, whereas general Z-infinity structure could be some convex symmetric body. These are vector bundles. They're honest vector bundles. You define them in the usual way. They're not, there are some hokey things. They're real things. Okay, you have to define what that is. But I'm saying, okay, what it is, yeah, so this part is, this is the account for the vector bundle over the affine part. So this is just the global sections of a spec Z. This is going to be the fiber over infinity. And this thing is some kind of compatibility, some pasting data. So what this is, has to do is, I don't really, yeah, you can ask me about it, but this is some kind of a pasting data. You can't just have just two arbitrary things and expect them to fit mesh together nicely. There has to be some kind of compatibility. What happens to N? Oh, these are all of rank N. I didn't write it. So Z module, Z infinity bracket module, and these are Q vector spaces. Also, Q is important because this Q here allows this commensurability relation to be subsumed in the isomorphism of vector bundles. No. So this Q, if you remember, I guess I erased it, or maybe I didn't. No. See, this. No. No. These are modules. They are, you can think of them as sets with some structure. Okay. The infinity bracket. Yeah, but I'm talking about this as a module for that thing. So these are generalized rings, but they're modules or sets with structure, but the structure is a little bit exotic. You have to define it in some categorical terms. It gets very messy. But intuitively, it's very simple. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what the modules are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what I... Yeah, okay. One thing is there's also these algebraic and commutativity relations, and they also play a role. And then what it means is essentially you only have to know what Z infinity of finite sets are for just say sets from 1 to n. And then you know everything. So that will come from some algebraic condition. Otherwise, it's not true in general. But you could have infinite sums, so that comes from this algebraic condition that we impose. It's something you have to show in there, otherwise you could have something like topological generalized rings, but they don't come play a role in there. You can do it, but it complicates the theory in a way that it doesn't seem to be necessary for this problem.
But you have some axioms on that, axioms of associativity and...
Yeah, okay. So let me put it...
I think that might even...
Yeah, you're right in some sense. So you're... Okay, let me put it this way. This all this category business is very... looks kind of scary. You can boil it down into just data about sets and some math between finite sets, and it all boils down to that. The only problem is if I say algebraic monoid is this and these conditions on sets, it just looks terrible. It just looks very arbitrary. But there's a good sort of category reasoning why this thing is a good thing. So I think
the comment is interesting that when we were doing the conjecture that the E bar G space we came up with has this property.
Oh yeah? Okay, I wasn't here for your talk. So. Well, your talk didn't come up yet. No, I know. But I had somehow the idea that you were talking about also something that you were going to talk. So there's a little bit of a problem. I'm now out of time, so I guess if you. By when does the next talk start? I try to wrap up in 5 minutes. I try to finish up in 5 minutes. Yeah. So maybe we try to merge the talks a little. We try to stitch them together so far as possible. So the moduli, so up to isomorphism is just GLN. So let me write that. So it's a double quotient space. This is over again spec we had GLN Q mod out by GLN Z, and here you have to mod out by GL Z infinity. So what's this? So this thing is the same. This is a finite group. It's just the symmetries of the octahedron. So in fact, so if this n is 1, then it's just Z mod 2Z. So I write it like this, oct n. So it's an octahedron. So symmetry is a standard octahedron. So you should think of this as automorphism of the standard Z infinity structure on Rn. Okay, so this is the picture of vector bundle. Okay, so this is a lot of work. This arrow is a very heavy arrow. There's lots of stuff there. So how is this connected to the Hadal class space? So so you can already see from at this point, you see it's not a far stretch to go from this two lattice picture to this geometric picture. The point we do this is now there's a notion of geometric compactification, this Erich-Hellot. So you carry everything over here, you do this Erich-Hellot compactification, you see what you get. And we will see that we get this. So what you do here is, let's look at what is this two lattice structure. So remember, when you mod out by scaling, you're looking at a distinguished lattice, just Z. So you just have to forget about that. So when you look at, so we're in the rank one case. So if you look at this degenerate torsion structure, it's just some homomorphism like this. And sitting inside of this is QPZP. Okay, so this map, this commensurability map, you have some map like this. Okay, see the way reason is this thing is this way you get this in here is it's just a P torsion. So I write it like this. It's so some power of P, all the elements that are killed by some power of P. So that's a just a homomorphism of abelian group, C module homomorphism. So here you have the same thing, but here it's at the ZP level. So you might think, if I want to do torsion at infinity, I should do just copy this. Why don't I just do this? So remember R is the completion of Q at infinity. So I'm just doing the same diagram, whatever, assuming this makes sense. You can make sense of these quotient generalized rings. And you might think, you might have to do this for all P and this, but this is not going to work. And the reason is, I won't go into this here, and it's what caused me a lot of trouble in the beginning. This is zero So you can't work with this, okay? So this is a problem with these generalized rings. Quotients, you have to be careful with them. So this thing is nothing interesting. This is zero and zero. Okay, so you might think, oh, well, I should maybe think of this as a cross-product construction. But there's other things you can do, and I think maybe it's a little easier. So you might think, oh, okay, well, I don't have to think about this. So let's see, what I'm doing is endomorphism part is just z-hat. I just stick out of z-infinity. You can do that, but then it's not, how do you know z-infinity is the endomorphism of that? Well, it's not. This is nothing, and that's not the right analog either. So what I'm proposing as the analog of the infinity torsion is just they are going to be, so in a special case for a distinguished structure, they are just going to be z-infinity module homomorphisms. Okay, and I write out, show you what this. So this is the infinity analog of this thing here. So at the level of sets, this is just putting some interval in here, and this R is going to be R with its this z infinity structure where the norm, the L1 norm that's defined by it, it becomes zero. Okay, so this is a trivial norm. So okay, so these are z infinity modules. So you would think of this as z infinity as a module over itself, not some ring inclusion. Okay, so because this is already has some other z infinity structure, okay? So I'm not defining as an algebra structure. So what happens is when you do this, then then you can transfer so all this commensurability data to this geometric setting. So you have to do transfer over commensurability of Q lattices. So you have to interpret everything in vector bundle language. Okay, and this pacing data is very crucial. Okay, if you didn't have this pacing data, everything will fall apart. So if defined over Q, that's also important. I'm trying to put and say what should be infinity torsion. So infinity torsion is not something what you might think naively. It's not the infinity. It's not this. This is maybe the next thing you can try. Okay, because these are for you can write this thing out in terms of expand out the projective limits and so forth. Yeah. So this is the infinity analog of this. So at infinity, some things are a little bit weird. So what happens when you do this? So Q commensurability in this geometric setting is the following. So so now we're going to do everything in this vector bundle setting. So where do I start? Okay, so let me start off with this vector bundle data. So I just work with triples. If I work with triple, I'm working with a vector bundle. So remember, I use some shortcut notation. I write this as tensor with Q over Z, and you have this isomorphism. The other way. Okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Okay. And this is, so here you have the tensor with Q but over Z infinity brackets. So you have this data. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we have to, there's no torsion data. We have to add that. So the torsion data you add is, so the finite part is rather simple. You look at endomorphisms of come back in a second. So you e infinity q modulo this e infinity okay, so this is this this is a z module, that's just a lattice. Okay, so I do now I should say implicitly I'm working n equals 1 case, okay? And then you have to add this part, which is the homomorphisms of z infinity. Okay, now here I have to do something else. So what I do is I extend by scalars to R. So I have a Q action because the underlying spaces are defined over Q, but I can extend by scalars to R, and I could have this thing, defined over R. I just tensor over Q by R. So I look at the, I just extend scalars, just nothing, nothing fancy. So I'm just taking that, extending my scalars, and then I do this. Okay. Okay. So now here I'm looking at e infinity. Okay. So e infinity, and then I should look at e infinity. R. Okay, what this E infinity is here is I'm taking this E infinity with a bracket and I'm doing a completion. Okay, so when you complete the E infinity, so just think of it. Okay, if the symbolism gets a little heavy, these are just abstract, that's just this abstract E infinity of the E infinity module, that's abstract E infinity bracket module. So this thing here, so this is a So remember, inside of here sits this V infinity bracket. This is a localization of V at the infinity prime. So it's just V infinity intersected with Q. Okay, so when you attach all of this data, then what you basically have is you have the data for the Dirac class space when you divide out by Q. So what is this isomorphism relation? Well, if you look at this structure, you have... so maybe I did something wrong. Okay, let me come back here. So because we can identify, we have this isomorphism here, we can, it's just like this, there's no scaling. So we can think of a canonical the canonical lattice in this real vector space. So it's like we have because of this, this is essentially just Z and something like R. So here we have essentially, so I'm taking a little bit of a shortcut here just so I don't have to write so much. So we're looking basically at, this is the same thing as, so of course, abstractly it's the same as this, but I'm saying canonically it is because we have also this pasting data. So it's something like we're dividing out by scaling. As in what this thing is, of course, this is just R because Z infinity is a unit object in the category of Z infinity modules. And it's very simple. See, this is it has to be I didn't say this, but it was implicit in definition. It's, as a set, it's just some symmetric closed interval. And this is just basically, the matching with R is matching the endpoint to R. So you can think of this is canonically the same as R, as a set. I mean, we can put a topology on it. So essentially what we've done is we are fixing some isomorphisms like this. This thing with R. I even write equal sign. So we are fixing some identifications. And then so scaling is cut out. So is that? No, this is all of R. This is all of R. Yeah, because now if this maps everything to zero, that's the structure that we started with on R. Okay? So this is a set, of course. It's a Hom in a set in a category. It's a set. So it's the same thing as R. As a set, we can topologize it. And in fact, if we put the usual topology, it'll be compatible with Q star action on this. So basically, what we have, just like in the Q lattice case, is just this part. So let me write it this way. So this is a kind of a big mess. This is, you have two pieces of data. You have something in here, right? And then, a finite, so the finite commensurability, the usual one. And then you have the infinity part, which is that thing here. And then you have to divide out by commensurability. And then commensurability here would be the Q action on this, these Q vector spaces, they will extend to the Q action on these real vector spaces, plus the usual Q action on this. Okay, that's only partially defined, like in the Boscon system. So if we look at this thing, modulo, I have to write my commensurability. I guess I was, what I said was not right.
Are you defining a vector
formula
or something using Dirac's theorem?
Yeah, Dirac's theory defines all this spec we had exactly in such a way that you can classify. See, what these are, they are certain global sections of the line bundle. And this is the pasting data. This is the section over the affine part, and that's at infinity. No, I'm adding extra structure. There's comments here. There's two other pieces. Infinity torsion and finite torsion. Yeah, so there's a way to, I wanted to mention at the end. So there's a big diagram including these moduli vector bundles, the Adair class space, and certain so-called Shimura varieties for GLN, and they sort of map to each other and also map to the Picard group for this. But maybe not so crucial. It's easy to write down. But the point is, if you divide out by this Q, so Q star, Q star plus, this thing, is acting on all this data here, okay? So because these are originally defined over Q, it's just scaling this thing, this lattice structure in here. It just scales that in the usual way. So when you look at this thing here, so these are vector bundles with finite and torsion at the finite places at an infinity. And what you get is, of course, you just get R hat, and then you have Z hat, and then you have Q star greater or equal to zero. And then one thing, okay, so it's a big quotient. I have the quotient out here, maybe on this side. I quotient out by the octahedral group on in one dimension. So this is Z mod 2. So this is just plus or minus 1. And that's this plus or minus 1 coming out here. So I could explain this later, but I just, for lack of time, I don't explain. So this is not hard. That will just follow from that. And then when you do that, then you divide out here by this. Let me write it here. So I just write it as plus or minus 1. You have to think of this as GL1 of Z infinity, okay? So Z infinity is coming in here. And this you see, of course, is just going to be this Adair class space. So if you add this infinity torsion, you can get back this space. So it's an Arakelov type of compactification. So let me just make some few remarks about what might be the good use of this. So I should just say I didn't do anything new here. This is just reformulating stuff in Arakelov geometry, but in this L1 Arakelov geometry. And of course, at that point, you might think, so there's a relation to Shimura varieties, but maybe I don't get to that. Let me just say this. This is sort of a comment for maybe just a few of you. So if you look at a spec V hat, if you look at its Picard group, it's the group of the isomorphism class of line bundles, it's just going to be Q star plus. Not R star plus, which is what you would expect from a function field analogy. But in some ways, in Vanderbilt, I mentioned this as a problem, but here it seems actually it fits very nicely with this picture. Otherwise, you would have.
No, I don't see. What you get here are components. I mean, on the right hand side.
No, but I'm adding a lot of other stuff.
I know. But what I mean is that if you take the point of the two more, you don't get
No, but see, I'm passing to the real numbers. I'm extending scalar.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that either you skip the point of view of the world and you look at the point like space, the Picard group, and so on, you don't get the right answer. You get the comfortable group.
Yeah.
It's not the adaptive space, which has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
you are just talking. Now, what you didn't tell us is what is the exact geometric meaning of this adding structure. Namely, you see, your talk would be much more convincing if you would, generally speaking, of vector bundles, line bundles, so on, you would define abstractly the additional structure, then you would compute it.
This is what I'm saying. It's something you don't normally consider. It's you're looking at sort of in some rational points, rational sections, if you will, but just sort of a degeneration of them. You know, it's like in a Q lattice structure. You could, yeah.
What I'm saying is that where you are making a contribution, which is really worthwhile,
is
if you define the generic structure in general,
geometrically,
over any
scheme. Yeah, that would be nice. I don't.
But that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what you are doing, you are imitating the construction of the Q lattice in that framework. It's okay, it's very evident, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, what should come out is their geometric meaning.
Yeah, this is the sort of the point. You are perfectly right. of course, why am I doing this? Because I'm sort of aiming for something, that's for sure. This thing is, I'm feeling, so certain obvious things you should try, they just will not work. And they don't even make good sense, and they're not good analogs. So you have to do something at infinity that's not an exact analog at the finite part. Problem is, in a Z-infinity, quotients are very problematic. Funny things happen. So, for example, you could have something like, you can consider, so for example, you can consider something like Z-infinity modulo 1/2 Z-infinity, the quotient Z-infinity modulo. That doesn't, and you look at the mapping from the Z-infinity to here, the kernel is not 1/2 of Z-infinity. It's going to be the maximal ideal in the residue field at infinity, whatever that means. So it's actually going to be something like Z infinity modulo its maximal ideal. So this you think of as a local ring. So funny things happen. You could have some quotient like this, but that's not in the kernel of this mapping. So quotients are very tricky business in this generalized ring setting. But it's kind of, you already see that something is not going to be exactly analogous because this is very hand-wavy, but in the beginning I tried to explain, well, the Z-infinity, so the mythology is such, you have this analytic algebraic geometric picture, but and it sort of mirrors what happens p-adically, but there are some kind of, you see there's a lot more complicated stuff going on, like you get gamma factors, so it's very tricky. So one point I want to make is this thing, so this is not something I can turn in yet into a precise statement. But this space here is defined over F1. I'm guessing because this thing is defined over F1. This spec we had has a structure of a projective limit of generalized schemes, and it's a pasting together over something like cyclotomic extensions of F1, something like what happens in the Boscombe system. So I think the two are related. But okay, I'm finished. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. The wave proof paper. Yeah. Yeah. I just saw this in your paper yesterday. I have time to think about it, but thanks for this remark. Yeah. Maybe I should say, this is the last remark. So the thing is, once you're in this Arakelov world, then you can maybe try to do transfer things in the Arakelov geometry. So for example, on your distillation module, maybe you should look at, or maybe one can try to figure out, what is this, how is this related to some kind of Ratzinger torsion? Is there some kind of a Quillen metric on the determinant of the distillation or something like this? So I asked Katya about this Ratzinger, but I don't know how you can understand it in this L1 Arakelov series. Okay, thanks. Sorry, I went way over time. Okay.
Any more comments or questions? Okay, let's take a 5-minute break.
Okay.